everyone. Welcome back. Rob here, joined with Jerry.
Hey.
And we have day 5 of our 12 combos of Christmas. And today we're going to be talking about two combos yet again, because they're essentially the same decks. Oops All Spells and Belcher. Jerry, why are we talking about these two decks right now?
Well, they are the second newest decks to come out recently, because they are just, you know, Hammer Time is the new hotness that people have picked up on. But these decks are rewards of all of the modal double face mythic lands and some of the non-mythic lands out of the new Zendikar set. Being able to play zero lands and then be able to do an obnoxious thing involving either an Undercity Informer, Balustrade Spy, or Goblin Charbelcher is what life is about right now.
Absolutely.
So anyways, we'll talk about the one I play way more. We'll talk about Oops All Spells, also known as Spy Combo.
All right.
So the goal of the deck is to make 4 mana and cast either Undercity Informer for 3, a black and 2, or Balustrade Spy for 3 and a black. When Balustrade Spy enters the battlefield, target player reveals cards top of his or her library until they reveal a land, and then put those cards into their graveyard. Well, since there are no lands in the deck, because modal lands all care about the front face, and on the front face they're all spells, it puts every card in the library into the graveyard. And Undercity Informer does the same thing, with the exception of instead of it costing 4, it costs 3 to play. And then its ability requires you to pay 1 and then sacrifice a creature. 99% of the time it's sacrificing itself. And you do the same thing. Target yourself until you reveal a land. You don't have one, so the whole deck goes in the graveyard. So what happens when the entire deck goes in the graveyard? Well, the first thing you have is you have 6 triggers that go in the stack. You have 2 copies of Narcomoeba and 4 copies of Creeping Chill.
Oh, boy.
2 Narcomoeba. When Narcomoeba enters a graveyard from the battlefield, or graveyard from the library, you may put it on the battlefield. So you fulfilled that requirement. And Creeping Chill. 3 and a black for a sorcery. Creeping Chill deals 3 damage to each opponent. You gain 3 life. When it is put into your graveyard from your library, you may exile it. If you do, it deals 3 damage to each opponent. You gain 3 life. So you flip the deck. They take 12, and you get these 2 Narcomoebas. 2 1/1s enter the battlefield. This triggers all 3 copies of Sword of the Meek. Sword of the Meek is an artifact that costs 2. It gives equipped creature +1/+2, and it equips for 2, but it also has an effect that whenever a 1/1 creature enters a battlefield under your control, you may return Sword of the Meek to the battlefield equipped to that creature. So what happens is because you have 2 Narcomoebas enter the battlefield, all swords see it. Even if the first sword becomes equipped to it, the intervening if trigger applies, and all 3 swords enter the battlefield attached to the Narcomoebas in any way you like. So it doesn't matter, you're getting these 3 swords back. With this whole deck in the graveyard, you'll have to use the Salvage Titan. Exile, if it's not in your hand, you'll exile 3 artifacts from your graveyard to put Salvage Titan in your hand. And then you pay for Salvage Titan with its alternate mana cost of exiling 3 sacrificing 3 artifacts. So you'll sack the 3 Sword of the Meeks. You play your Salvage Titan. Salvage Titan is now the second creature you have casted this turn. Because you have 4 Vengevines in your deck, all of your Vengevines in the graveyard now come back onto the battlefield. Those are all 4 threes with haste. That means that's 16 damage there, plus the 12 they took. That is 28 damage for 4 mana.
This is a lot going on the stack, but it is so beautiful when it's all resolving. I really enjoy this deck a lot because I used to run Crabvine in Modern, and it's utilizing a lot of the same cards that I had, that being the Narcomoebas, the Creeping Chills, and the Vengevines. And being able to hit all of this now at once is just, it is a dream come true.
Yep, all for a simple cost of 4 mana and a creature.
And how aggressive can we be with our mulligans? Because it seems like we have to get that Undercity Informer or that Balustrade Spy.
You need a win condition and a mana rock, and at least 1 land in every hand.
Okay.
You have to do that. Now our mana, this is very important to talk about. We have 20 on average of the modal double face lands. You will always have 4 Agadeem's Awakening, 4 Emiria's Call, 4 Seagate Restoration, and 4 Turn Timber Symbiosis. Those are all the mythic ones that enter the battlefield, and you may pay 3 life to have them come into play untapped. That's green, blue, white, and black. You have only one Shatter Skull Smashing. The reason behind that is Shatter Skull Smashing is the 17th land that comes into play untapped, which is important, but it also is a non-bow with Simeon Spirit Guide and Pentad Prism, which is your turn two kills.
Okay.
Because you can only, because like I said in a previous video, the Ad Nauseam video, the Sunburst on Pentad Prism, if you're using red-red for a Pentad Prism, it only comes in with one, not two.
Yep.
So only one Shatter Skull Smashing. Then the question is, how many, the next one is your 3 to 4 copies of the other black land that comes into play tapped. Since our combo requires black mana, we want as much black as we can possibly have. In this case, it's some people use Hagra Mauling, other people use Palakka Predation. The reason being is because they have front faces that actually have relevant effects that you may want. Right now, the popular choice is Hagra Mauling, because Archon of Emyria is a creature being played in main boards of Death and Taxes decks in Modern. But it's a 2 black and black instant, costs 1 less to cast if your opponent has no basics, destroy target creature. It can kill an Archon of Emyria in a pinch, and it produces black on the backside and enters battlefield tapped. And then Palakka Predation is 2 and a black, target opponent reveals their hand, you choose a card with converted mana cost 3 or greater and put it in the graveyard. Usually you choose a Cryptic Command or something like that. And it itself also comes into play tapped and produces black. I mentioned Pentad Prism before. That's a pretty easy one. This gives you your turn 2 kills. Turn 1, any of the modal lands, it's not Agadeem's Awakening or the black tapped one. Or not Agadeem's Awakening, sorry. Shatter Skull Smashing or the tapped black one. And you play Pentad Prism for 2 off of Simeon Spirit Guide. And then turn 2, play any modal double face land that enters the battlefield untapped and pay 4 mana. Play a creature and you win.
A big thing too for some new players, don't be afraid of bolting yourselves with these mythic lands. Okay, again, whenever you go,
that's what you do, yeah,
you win the game. So don't worry about taking 3, taking 6, possibly even taking 9 from that. Now be mindful of what your opponents are playing. You know, if they're playing burn or something, you need to watch out for the bolts or the other damage that can kill you.
Even then, the combo is so fast that a turn 2, turn 3 kill, you could pay 9 life and they're still dead. Yep. They have to have the nut burn hand to beat you.
Exactly. But just keep that in mind. Don't be afraid, but be smart with how you're bolting yourselves.
Yep. You also have last mana rock is 4 copies of Talisman of Resilience. It's part of the Talisman cycle from Modern Horizons that's from all the enemy colors. It's 2 mana for an artifact. Taps for colorless. It can also tap to add black or green, and you pay and you deals 1 damage to you. So it allows you to go off on turn 3 as necessary. Because you have 11 artifacts in the deck, all of your mana rocks are artifacts and your 3 Sword of the Meeks. This makes casting Salvage Titan every time very easy.
Yes.
Question that some people might ask is, what happens if I draw all my Vengevines or if I draw too many Sword of the Meeks? There's a creature in the deck that solves this problem. It is Phantasmagorian. 5, a black and a black for a creature horror. It's a 6/6. I've casted it once playing this deck, and I mean once. When you play Phantasmagoria, any player may discard 3 cards. If that player does, counter Phantasmagorian. Discard 3 cards, colon, return Phantasmagorian from your graveyard to your hand. This is important, because the discard 3 cards is the effect you want, and it's actually paying the cost of the effect. So they can't stifle it. Or, in the case of Modern, they can't use Tail's End, which is popular these days, as a way to beat us. You can't Tail's End Phantasmagorian, and some people don't know that, and it actually gets them.
Ooh.
So you discard your Vengevines, and then you play your Salvage Titan, and then you win the game. The main board option of that covers pretty much the whole deck except for 4 to 5 cards that are things we need to talk about. We need to talk about, in the event you can't win in combat, how you reset your deck, or in this case, reset a reasonable sized deck. Nexus of Fate is one way to do it. It's 5 blue and a blue instant. Take an extra turn after this one. You'll never cast it, as far as I know. I've not heard anyone trying it yet. But if it would be put into a graveyard from anywhere, you reveal it and put it into your library instead. So it buys you an extra turn in the event you just don't have enough combat damage to get through for lethal. The other way to do it is Memory's Journey, which is 1 in a blue instant. Choose 3 cards from 3 target cards from any graveyard and put them into that player's library and shuffle them. Has a flashback of 1 green. That one buys you a few more turns, but it costs one mana. The argument between those is the interaction with Grave Hate. Surgical Extraction does beat us. Nexus of Fate can't stop a Surgical, but Memory's Journey can stop a Surgical Extraction. Let's say they target a Vengevine with it. You can Memory's Journey targeting your one Vengevine and the two Sword of the Meeks in the graveyard and put them into your deck. This fizzles the Surgical Extraction.
Yeah, that's so a key thing there, is find out which one they're targeting, and then that is the one that you target with your spell.
Yep, and when they cast the spell, Surgical Extraction requires a target, so it's not hidden information. They'll let you know. And then the last card people play is Leyline of Sanctity in the main board. Because all of your lands are spells, they are all subject to getting thought seized. So it is a requirement that we play the card.
Need a way to protect yourself from hand disruption.
Yep. Let's see here. The sideboard. Pact of Negation, Slaughter Pact. Free counter spell, free removal spell. Your choice of either Dismember or Vendetta. Dismember, one, and then pay 4 life. Target creature gets -5/-5. Vendetta is black, instant, destroy target creature. You lose life equal to its power. Both of them are pretty close to the same thing. Dismember can usually cost you more life, but also Dismember is colorless, where Vendetta is black. You know, it's a give and take here, right?
Absolutely.
Natural State and Nature's Claim as ways to deal with artifact and artifact-based graveyard hate. And then the newest technology out of the sideboard is Savage Summoning.
Yes. I'm really excited about Savage Summoning. I love this card. This is my pet card in Modern.
It's great because it allows you to go off at instant speed. If you have 2 copies of Savage Summoning and 6 mana, you can actually just instant speed kill your opponent. It's great. Because you do the first Savage Summoning to cast your Balustrade Spy, and then your next Savage Summoning casts your Salvage Titan, and you get all your things back.
Yep.
Or you don't get the Vengevines back, but you've Creeping Chilled them out, and they have to deal with Narcomoebas with... There's usually at least a Narcomoeba with a sword, and the Nexus of Fate in the library now, you have your turn to kill them. So it gives you that option. And it prevents Savage Summoning prevents your creatures from getting countered. It's just a way around it.
Beautiful.
The biggest appeal to it is that it doesn't draw you a card. Versus Veil of Summer, which does. You don't want to be drawing Narcomoebas. If you draw both Narcomoebas, you lose the game at this point. At this point, you scoop it up. You cannot combo.
Yeah, you need both Narcomoebas out there.
Or at least you can draw one and you're fine. You're soft to Surgical Extraction, though, at this point, because now you can't just tuck the one. You're going to lose. You won't get your swords back. But at least you have one in the deck.
Okay, and I think that pretty well explains Oops All Spells now. You want to move over to the other variant we have, and that being Goblin Charbelcher?
Yes, actually. Gee whiz for you. You can play Goblin Charbelcher in the sideboard of Oops All Spells. That's not wrong either.
No, just keep that not. In mind. And you're going to see just how drastically different these two decks are. Here in Oops All Spells, we had all the triggers going on the stack with the Narcomoebas, the Sword of the Meeks, the Phantasmagorian being cast by sacrificing or exiling artifacts, sacrificing artifacts, Creeping Chills. A lot's going on there. Goblin yep. Charbelcher, however, I think is a little more easy on the brain.
Yes. The Charbelcher deck is trying to cast one of 3 cards on turn 1, if you can. The 3 cards you're trying to cast are Goblin Charbelcher, 4 mana artifact, pay 3, tap it, reveal cards in top of your library until you reveal a land. Oh look, there are none in the deck. Deals damage equal to the number of non-land cards revealed this way to target creature or player. If the revealed land card was a mountain, it deals double the damage instead. Put the revealed cards in the bottom of your library in any order. Key thing to note here, if for some reason they're able to prevent damage off of a Goblin Charbelcher, you can reorder your deck in any way you want.
Yes.
That is important. That allows you to set up for your next kill. Try to play a turn 1 Blood Moon. This is the best Blood Moon has been in years, and it will be for a while. So playing a turn 1 Blood Moon is absolutely acceptable. Or a copy of the card Recross the Paths. 2 and a green for a sorcery from Morningtide. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a land. Oh, look, there are none. Put that card into play, the rest in the bottom of the library in any order. Clash with an opponent. If you win, return it to your hand. Return it to its owner's hand. So obviously you have no lands, and it allows you to reset the deck in any order. You're gonna put a copy of Reforge the Soul on top of your deck and cast it for its miracle cost. And what happens is each player will discard their hand and draw 7 cards. The 7 cards you're gonna draw is any combination of rituals into Goblin Charbelcher to win the game.
That pretty much does it. But how are we doing this though? Because I just saw Goblin Charbelcher is a 4 mana, and then it's 3 mana to activate. I'm confused. Jerry, how are we generating 7 mana on turn 1?
Okay, Simeon Spirit Guides and our modal double face lands, Pyretic Rituals, Desperate Rituals, Manamorphose draws cards and doesn't net you any mana, but it continues to let you continue through. And then if you hit 4 mana, you cast Iron Crag Feat.
So we found it. We finally found it after all this time, because we said when Iron Crag Feat came out, we need to find the deck that breaks it. Did we do it?
Yes, we did it here.
Yeah, we did it, boys.
Iron Crag Feat, add 7 red. You can only cast one more spell this turn. Cast that Goblin Charbelcher, activate that Goblin Charbelcher. 7 mana to do it. Valakut Awakening, callback from Twinless Twin, is in this deck as well as a 4 of. You use it to reset a hand if you need combo pieces, if your hand's just not doing anything. This helps you get there. Sometimes it's just what you do. You'll pay like, you'll do like a, sometimes you don't have the turn 1, but you have a maybe turn 2. You fire off a Valakut Awakening. If you fizzle, draw a bunch of cards and reset.
The deck manipulation, the cantripping just with this deck is incredible to be able to set up for your combo. Because other than those, we don't have like what we had in Hammer Time when we're able to tutor up our combo pieces. No, we have to draw into them. So utilizing cards like Valakut's Awakening, Recross the Paths, our Reforge the Soul to get into our brand new 7 or brand new hand has really also just lifted this deck above and beyond.
Absolutely. The sideboard is an interesting beast. The current list I'm showing you doesn't have a thing going for it, but there has been people sideboarding copies of Gristlebrand. You can reasonably cast Turn Timber Symbiosis and flip a Gristlebrand.
Oh my goodness, you can.
You can certainly do that.
That gets me excited. I love me some Gristlebrand. You guys will find that out tomorrow in our next episode.
But typical cards you'll see split between the main and the side are your Pact of Negations and your Leon and Sanctities. Nothing new there. You've seen that in Oops All Spells. You've seen it in Ad Nauseam. Since this deck has 0 islands in it, they like Boil. Boil's a good card. And they do a little bit of interaction with the field with copies of Anger of the Gods, Lightning Bolt. And because you do generate enough spells, Empty the Warrens is a fine card. You can actually just cast it for its storm trigger, make a bunch of goblin tokens, and sometimes it's enough to win the game.
And we actually saw that last night, or the other night on stream. I was watching our teammate, old Coco Lopez. He was piloting just red-green Eldrazi, and he went up against Oops All Spells. Game 1, we saw the Goblin Charbelcher. Or sorry, we saw a Charbelcher, not Oops. Game 2, then, we saw the Empty the Warrens.
Yeah, that's it. That'll do.
But definitely an interesting deck. And a good thing now about both these decks is these are cheap, modern decks to get into. If you want to get into a combo deck, I think these are both fantastic. Pretty straightforward. Not a whole lot going on like the peripherals, if you will, trying to do something else or could do something else. No, we're doing one thing. We're flipping the deck, and we're killing our opponent that turn.
Yep.
Both of these come in at about $350 each for the entire 75 that we are looking at right now on MTG Goldfish. And of course, as you change your sideboard or whatnot, it's going to vary probably by like $20 here or there. But in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to modern, these are very cheap decks to go and be incredibly competitive.
And if you can find an alternate to Pact of Negation, that's 1/3 of your deck right there.
100%.
So that'll definitely help you out there in the long run.
Yep. And what's one of the benefits, though, like one deck over the other, you would say, Jerry?
Oops All Spells it doesn't completely stone dead Force of Negation. Like, if you go for the turn 1 Simeon Spirit Guide double land for a Pentad Prism, yeah, that can get Force of Negated and slow you down. But Force of Negation cannot hit either of the spies. has slightly more consistency in that you can just play lands and actually do things. Granted, they're not the best things, you can do that. The Belcher deck is fast. That one does just do the turn one thing half the time. So like every hand they have, they should either be casting turn one, they need to be casting a Blood Moon, Goblin Charbelcher, Recross the Paths, or a Reforge the Soul. Or a Valakut Awakening to reset it.
Gotcha. So really, the Charbelcher is significantly more explosive. You do have to worry about your Force Negations, whereas with Oops All Spells on turn two and beyond, you really don't need to worry about that Force Negation.
Correct.
All right. What about for entry level now? How would you rate these as difficult for a first-timer?
Both of these get a 5. Okay. They're both combo, because they're both very similar in what they do. It's more of an interaction of understanding and explaining to your opponent how they are not lands. You have to be able to explain that. As well as being able to explain your combo and move through it step by step. Once you learn your combo step by step, it's second nature. Absolutely. Not particularly difficult.
Yeah, it's not like we're trying to explain KCI here or anything.
But you're not winning the game in a traditional sense. So they're not the hardest of the combos. They're not ad nauseum level hard, and they're definitely not Twinless Twin hard. But they're probably more difficult to play than Copycat with the Omnath Uro package, where you just throw big things on the field until you win the game. Gotcha. Like these are probably a little more difficult than that. So if I said that was a 6, I guess that these would be a 6.5.
Okay. All right.
Trying to keep myself in check in order here.
Oh yeah, no, it can be difficult. We should probably be like writing these down or something, but we'll go back listen to and do a comprehensive list of the most difficult to the easiest of combo decks to get into if combo is where you are. And I think Jerry, we talked a little bit about this the other day. I think we're both kind of more on the combo side of the house when it comes to modern.
I mean, back in 2014, 15, and 16, I really was on a mid-range trip, and I did okay with them, but then I just went back to combo. I understand these decks. I understand how to play them to their most efficient ways versus trying to play a mid-range deck and stop someone from doing something. I would rather be the person doing the broken something and protect my thing.
Absolutely, and that's like where I've been with my top finishes, whether it was Titan Shift, whether it's Kravine, just having those decks out there, being able to explode a board state and then win the following turn. That's really, for me, what it's about. All right, well, if you don't have anything more to add, I think that's going to do it for us for this episode.
Yeah.
I want to thank everyone again for listening. Again, as we've been promoting here these past few days, be sure to check out Deep Dive Games down here in St. Mary's, Georgia. That is the newest local game store we have, and we're currently doing a promotional deal with them where all new subscribers and current subscribers on YouTube, if they message the Snapcast on either Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those handles, and show that you have subscribed to us, you'll be awarded a 5% off discount code to be used one time on any purchase, either online or in store, until the end of December. Be sure to check out Deep Dive Games, for they have the greatest in D&D, Magic the Gathering, and miniature selections, as well as a vast play area and nice snacks and drinks. Staff is incredibly knowledgeable and local, so they know what the area is about and can get you anything that you need from any of the main distributors. That's going to do it for us here this evening. Have a fantastic day.